This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. I do appreciate you being with me. Above average investing for the average investor, of course, is always our mantra. We try to bring you useful information and answer your questions. So we're going to devote this hour to a life in retirement. Mostly, we're in the prep mode, preparing for retirement, saving and investing for all the golden years. But what about during our retirement years? Do we cash in our nest egg, stash it under the mattress, or do we take a more active approach? Could you need to own more stocks after you retire? That's one of our main talking points this hour. The life of retirement, the life of a retired person, how do you picture it? Are you cruising on your sailboat, you know, a three-month vacation in Italy? Or are you thinking to drive to the beach and have go to an occasional movie, have an additional occasional out the dinner evening with your wife or husband? But you know, even those retirees with enormous wealth face the same tax challenges as you do, as an average person does, trying to find the deductions, credits, and tips that make the tax liability manageable and understandable. Here are some things you might miss. Here's a good trick for retirees. The standard deduction for people over 65 is actually higher than everyone else's. While most single taxpayers get about $6,200, single taxpayers older than 65 get an extra $1,550. So instead of $6,200, that's a standard tax deduction. The 65-year-older or older person gets an extra $1,550. Married taxpayers gets $12,400. And those over 65 get $1,200 more. So you should be single, I guess, because you'll get more. Maybe that's why some married older couples get divorced. Get a tax break. Itemize is great if you have a big deduction that counts for a lot. Mortgage interest rates, for instance, say. But you might not have as much mortgage interest to itemize if you own your own home outright in your old age, right? And you heard me over the radio say, pay off your mortgage before you retire. So what if it is paid off? Well, you don't have that big itemized deduction. The standard deduction might be just the plan for you if you don't have that big tax deduction. And another thought for retirees regarding medical and dental expenses, you can choose to itemize your deductions rather than take the standard cut. And if it is possible, your expenses might make it worthwhile if you retired. Realistically, a lot of the older folks find themselves paying for health care at a faster and more expensive clip than they do in their working years or their younger days, okay? And while it's not as easy as simply writing off every cent you spend, you can still get yourself a sizable tax cut if you itemize. So you're going to have to look into that in retirement. There are many more tax ideas in a very comprehensive report written by Kate Kirshner. Just search Kate Kirshner, 10 tax deductions for retirees. So what money matters is on your mind today. I'm ready for any money questions. 888-99-CHART. That's our number. Let's go to the phone to take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, this is Stan from Richmond, Virginia. Will a conversion from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA satisfy my required minimum distribution? Thanks so much for your podcast. Have a great day, gentlemen.
That's a really good question. Okay, so, you know, you're at a certain age. At age 70 and a half, you're required to take money out of your IRA because the government wants its tax dollars. And that's what is called a required minimum distribution. Every year after 70 and a half, you're required to take that money out. So if I think what happens, this is what's going to happen. The answer is going to be yes, by the way. Because when you take the money out of your required minimum distribution, you're taking out the IRA, you're going to have to pay taxes on that, and then you can put that money right into a Roth. So you're not getting away with anything. You're just opening up a Roth account and moving the net after-tax amount to the Roth. So, yes, you still have to pay the required minimum distribution. You still have to take the money out of the IRA, whatever that minimum is. Okay? Now, depending, you have to check with your accountant as to how much you can put in the Roth, after age 7.5. I don't know the rules. I'm not that familiar with it at that point. But you're going to have to take the required minimum distribution to put the money in the Roth. So you're going to have to pay taxes on the money. Just maybe put it that way. But talk to your accountant, and it's a good question because there's probably rules that I don't know anything about. I don't want to get you in trouble, okay? I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. We're focused on retirement for this recorded hour. You can get your questions in today, and we'll answer it on the very next Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
And now let's continue with Invest Talk. This is our 1 hour in retirement special, a recorded program, but you can still get your questions to us on the 24-hour anytime line, 888-99-CHART. We'll answer it on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Okay, why do you need more stocks after you retire? The recent study has shown that you might need more after you retire, not less. And in fact, it says that when you first retire, you should actually have less stock, like 20% of your portfolio exposed to the market. Now, the conventional wisdom is that you'll pull out about 4% of your money in retirement, and you'll never run out of money. That's the conventional wisdom, that's how that will work, and you won't run out of money. But in a recent study by the American Institute of Economic Research, it showed that you would actually do better if you have less than 20% exposure to stocks at retirement age, and then increase that exposure to stocks as you age to 70% at age 95, if you reach age 95, of course. The time that people need to be the most conservative is not in retirement, says the study, but at the beginning of retirement. So basically what they're saying is that at the beginning of your retirement, that's where you have the most money, that is the time you have the most exposure to danger of losing it because of the fact that you're using it. You're using it to have fun, go travel, play golf, whatever it is. And as you get older and older and older, you're using the money, the amount of money goes down, and you keep increasing your exposure to the stock market because the stock market has a 7% plus return normally. That's what the study said. Of course, I don't know if as an older person you want to become more risky, but that's what their findings are. Now, whether it's true or not, only time will tell.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
Okay, 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Thomas in Newark. How are you doing, Thomas?
Hey, fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Of course. Hey, I heard the question regarding the required minimum distribution and if it can, or if a Roth conversion can count towards that.
Yes.
I've been working with IRAs for a long time, and I can tell you that no, unfortunately, your Roth conversion could not count towards the RMD. Have to take your RMD separately.
That's what I thought.
Just wanted to let you know.
Well, I appreciate the call. I was thinking of that as I gave it a few seconds of thought. Yeah. You're going to have to pay taxes. The government wants its money.
Yes.
That's about it.
Yes.
Thanks, Thomas. I really appreciate the call. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
Absolutely. Love your show. Thank you.
Okay, so there's the answer from seemed like a well-informed listener. So, yeah, you're going to have, I don't think you can get away without paying taxes. The government wants its money. Let's go to Frank and Blythe. How you doing, Frank?
I have a question about where I should be putting my investment dollars. I've got several hundred going into my 401 and about the same amount going into my 457. And then I'm also doing a small monthly amount into just a brokerage account that I'm playing on the stock market. Should I be switching some of those funds into the Roth IRA?
How old are you?
42.
Do you have a current Roth IRA?
No, I do not.
You have a 401k?
I have a 401k and a 457.
Okay. Are you currently working at the place where the 401k is established?
Yes.
Okay. So you got to leave it there. The 457, is that a current active 457 account?
Yes.
So you got to leave both those there. So you really can't do anything with a Roth IRA with those monies. And if you're making too much money on an annual basis, you can't even open up any IRA. So it depends on how much money you're making, Frank. You might be making way too much. You might be one of those rich guys.
I wish.
Don't we all wish, okay? 401k and 457 for everybody else. Those are retirement types of accounts. Frank, you're 42. If you're going to open up a retirement account, either an IRA or Roth IRA, it should be probably the Roth IRA, not the regular IRA. But you may be precluded with these retirement accounts you have, and you have to talk to your tax guy or your accountant. Because he knows how much money you're making, and he can tell you, okay, yeah, you can do it. And you can do that like March or just before tax time and open it for this year. Next year, you can open it for the year before.
Oh, okay. I can still take the deduction.
Correct. Now, the deduction is on a regular IRA. A Roth IRA, you do not. You pay with after-tax dollars. But all the growth that you have over the next years, you never have to pay a tax dollar on anything that grows in that Roth IRA.
Okay. I guess I'm kind of looking, too, as I'm putting money into the stock market,
yes,
into a real stable one. Would I be better off putting those monies that I'm putting into that into the Roth?
Probably, because you can invest it in the same things.
Oh, okay.
Let's say your current account is at E-Trade.
Right.
You can open up a Roth at E-Trade, a Roth IRA.
Okay.
And you can trade it the same.
If I trade within the Roth IRA, is that money is still non-taxable?
All non-taxable, yes.
That is cool.
Okay.
All right.
That's why I'm thinking, do it. You know, it's got some nice advantages.
That'd be sweet.
Frank, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have questions about FDIC security, mortgages, money market funds, losses to your retirement plans? Give us a call today, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk to Gwen in Castro Valley. How are you doing, Gwen?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
I'm a big fan of buy and rebalance the portfolio.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what out there is going to work better over the next 20 years than buy and hold or buy and rebalance?
Nothing. If you're talking about 20 years, Gwen, buy and hold will work over that length of period of time. It hasn't worked in the last 10 years, have you noticed, buy and hold. But when you say rebalance, that's kind of key. Rebalance how and into what, okay? In an economic recovery, in every economic recovery in the history, when the stock market will rally 6, 9 months, sometimes 12 months, before the economy shows any growth, okay? In that, the stock market recovery, the best stocks that move the fastest are going to be your small cap growth stocks. They've always done the best coming out of an economic recovery. So, if you're saying I need to rebalance out of these bond funds because interest rates are so low and bond funds may not work going forward for a while, maybe I need to rebalance into a more aggressive stance, I would agree with you.
Well, wouldn't your asset allocation determine where you should be selling and buying?
Well, but some of the, I like asset allocation. I don't want to disagree with anybody on asset allocation, but it depends on, I disagree with people who blindly asset allocate because they say, I need to have this much money in bonds and this much money in stocks and this much money in precious metals or mining. See, so when you rebalance, again, rebalance into what areas? And the asset allocation, sometimes it's better to be over here than over there. And, you know, those people who just asset allocate across a broad spectrum, I think are doing it wrong. Thanks for the question, Gwen. Appreciate it. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Do you have questions about retirement? You put money into your account all these years. How is it going to work taking it out during retirement? Maybe you have a question about in-retirement distributions. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
More Invest Talk now with financial advisor Steve Peasley. This is our 1 hour in retirement special, a recorded program, but you can still get your questions to us on our 24-hour anytime line, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Cliff in Pacific Beach. How are you doing, Cliff?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Most of us are contributing into some sort of retirement account, right?
Yes.
I happen to contribute into the TSP, the U.S. government.
Got it.
I just bumped mine $100 contribution a pay period.
Okay.
My check went down $41.
Your paycheck went, then they matched money for you?
No, negative. It took that much off my taxes.
And
I'm not a wealthy man. And my daughter happens to work for the government, so does my son-in-law. So I happen to mention my daughter. She says, well, Daddy, I have the 50-cent rule. Every time you take a dollar out, put it in the TSP, your check only goes down 50 cents. Well, it seems to me that mitigates a lot of the risk.
It does mitigate a lot of risk. And when the way you're doing it, Cliff, with every paycheck, that's called dollar cost averaging.
Absolutely.
As the prices come down, depending on how many years left you have, how old are you?
Older than you, son.
If you have 5 years, 3 to 5 to 7 years left, you kind of want the market to be a little bit under pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Downward, because you're buying more and more shares. Then, just a year or two before you retire, you want it to shoot up.
Well, I'm on the old system, so I don't particularly care.
Yeah, you're on the pension system?
Yeah, but my daughter, she's in the other.
The 401k type system?
Right.
Or the 403b or whatever they call it these days.
Yeah, and there's great choices to choose from. But it makes a lot of difference. She makes a very little money, and at 50 cents on the dollar, it sure helps out.
You certainly want to do that. Yep. Cliff, appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
How about Chris in San Diego? How are you doing, Chris?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, and I appreciate you calling.
The other day, I heard you talk to another gentleman with regards to TSP monies and rolling it out when you're eligible to roll it out, and I'll be having to roll mine out in about 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. Would I roll that into an IRA?
Yes, you would.
Would it be a taxable IRA or a Roth IRA?
Nope, it would be a non-taxable IRA. It won't be a Roth. It would be a regular IRA. It depends on the money we're talking about. I'm assuming the TSP money we're talking about is retirement money that has not been taxed.
Correct.
Therefore, you will roll into a regular IRA.
I see.
But when you get closer, Chris, you want to talk to an accountant, talk to me again, because rules change.
Okay.
Because you're talking 3 years from now, that's still a ways to go.
Yeah, and I'm putting in about 10% into that.
Good for
that,
you.
So, yeah.
Now, Chris, I want everybody to do that. That is more than most people would ever consider.
Well, listening to you guys, how could a person not?
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. If I can get just one person to do that, I'm happy. I can't get my own family to do that, so they won't do it.
You
Chris, how old are you?
A lot of common sense. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You work hard for your money. Why isn't it working harder for you?
In looking at the chart, do you have to look at this the opposite of like a normal stock?
Ask your question. 888-99-CHART is the number. This is Invest Talk on radio and investtalk.com. Our listener line is open 24/7 for your questions. Hear the answer live on radio and online 4 to 5 or the playback anytime on investtalk.com.
Wilma and Whittier, how you doing, Wilma? Thank you for calling.
I have a question.
Sure.
I've asked so many people, but I don't know what to do.
Okay.
I'm 61. I've been a widow for about 11 years.
I'm sorry.
And my husband, thanks. And my husband had left his 401k. He used to work for Xerox.
Yes.
And I have about $240,000 at Dean Witter.
Okay.
Next year, I want to retire.
Okay.
And I've lived in an apartment all my life, but I want to buy me a little condo because the rent keeps going up and up and up.
Right.
And I was wondering, is it wise to ask for $50,000 or $60,000 at one point and then invest it and get me a little place?
How old are you, 61?
61.
And you want to retire at 62?
Yes.
Do you have any other assets?
Well, no, just what I get is Social Security next year and my retirement from work.
Could I ask about how much that is a month?
Well, it would probably come to $1,700.
I'm a little concerned of spending too much money. Whatever you buy, mm-hmm. you shouldn't use more than 30 or 40% of that $1,700 on a monthly mortgage. In retirement, you really should not have a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on how much. You have $240,000 nest egg, mm-hmm. and you're going to get $1,700. I don't want to use all that $240,000. I really shouldn't. You mm-hmm. shouldn't. You're going to need some emergency money.
Yeah.
Therefore, whatever you buy, at the very least, you should not be using all your retirement monthly payment to pay for that mortgage. It should be less than half. Because
mm-hmm.
you want to have some freedom. You're going to get an opportunity to buy some things at very good discounts here the next year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be tough for you to purchase something that's going to give you enough freedom on a monthly basis to have enough money.
Could I take out more money then?
Mm-hmm. Than $50,000?
Yeah.
Well, what you need to do is figure out how much you're going to pay for the place and mm-hmm. how much is your mortgage going to be.
Yeah.
And include taxes, property tax in there.
Yeah.
And then remember, there also is that monthly association fees. And then there's the heating, electrical, all those other things.
Exactly.
So you got to figure out all that cost and then determine it.
Okay, so it'd be better if I get me another apartment.
At this stage, I would say the chances are very good. Depending on how much you're going to pay for that condo, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
Property values are still going to come down, by the way, so don't get it be in a big rush.
Yeah, no, like I said, I have another year, so.
Yeah, okay. And well, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Good luck.
Helps me a lot. Thank you.
Okay, good luck. Thanks for being with us today. We're at the halfway mark for our retirement hour. We'd love to hear from you. How do you invest after retirement? Is it best to stop investing after retirement? Let's hear from you at 888-99-CHART.
Let's get back to Invest Talk. Put your risk tolerance to the test. Use our risk analysis tool. It's the first step in making your retirement portfolio more comfortable. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. Right now, punch in 888-99-CHART on your phone and talk to Steve on Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Here's the retirement help investors say they need most. Okay, a lot of them ask a lot of questions, and I deal with this a lot personally, about transitioning planning. You're trying to plan from going from a full-time worker person to a full-time retired person. And you got to ask questions like, when will you retire? What's the date? Will you continue to work even in retirement? Will it be part-time or some other job? How much money you need in retirement? These are crucial types of questions. And you really got to figure them out before you retire, not after. So that transitioning planning starts a few years to 5 years plus before you retire. You can do it 10 years plus. The sooner you do it, the better. Try to figure out when you're going to retire. Are you going to want to work in retirement or do something in retirement that makes income? And how much money do you need in retirement? We got to figure those numbers. You got to come up with your best guess. Second part, retirement income planning. Retirees usually want to determine how much income am I going to be coming in from my investments? Not necessarily working. But for my investments, my Social Security, my pension plans, if I had any, how much money is coming in? And how do I maximize that income with my investments? And the third thing they want is more of a holistic kind of planning. And that is, well, besides the money I need and when I'm going to retire, how much will healthcare cost me? And how much taxes do I have to pay since I'm going to be retired? And, you know, can I use my equity in the house? How much is it going to cost me to maintain that house in retirement? More generalized things about what you got to do in retirement. Those are the three major things: transition planning, retirement income, and kind of planning the overall move into retirement and what it's going to entail. And I know from experience that these things are what we talk about. You know, it's kind of important. So that's what people need or think they need in retirement. Let's go to Jack and go to Miguel. How are you doing, Jack?
Good. Thanks, Steve, for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Yeah, my question or thing is about retirement. I retired 4 years ago at 62.
Okay.
And what I've experienced is probably like a lot of people have. You're not prepared for a lot of increases that come your way, like Medicare,
right.
Medical insurance that drops, and you have subsidiaries that have to be picked up.
Yep.
Also, inflation and other things. So my thing is, you know, you're talking about you need at least 80% of what you were living on before you retired.
Yes.
I would plan for 110%. That way,
That'd be nice.
No surprises.
That's right. In other words, you're saying in your experience that you actually need just as much as when you're working as when you're retired. Your expenses do not go down.
Absolutely.
And then you have to keep up.
They do not go down.
Jack, I've heard people tell me this before. Many times it goes up. Not because you're necessarily, you know, living a more lavish lifestyle, but what happens is you have a lot of freedom, and there's several things. Freedom means, well, I'm going to go have some fun. Fun sometimes costs money. The other side is what you pointed out. Well, as we all get older, medical costs tend to go up, not down.
Dramatically.
Yeah, and some of it, you know, if you have an illness, you need to be prepared for that. You know, that's one of my biggest fears, Jack, is, you know, Medicaid, Medi-Cal, Medicare. How much is that going to pay? And how much do I have to pay?
It's going to get less and less unless they get this thing corrected.
Yeah. Do you see that happening?
I have no clue, so I would say no.
Yeah, I think they're going to make us pay a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Because where are they going to get the money?
Taxes.
Or raise taxes. Yeah. Jack, appreciate the question. Appreciate the comment. I appreciate that. Yeah, everybody. Just, you know, in retirement, you need to have money or you're not going to retire. And I'll say this. You don't have to retire. Retirement is not necessarily what we all think it is, where you just stop working and you kick back and you don't do anything. No, you might retire from what you don't want to do to something you do want to do and still get paid. You might cut back your hours but not truly retire, maybe work part-time or have special projects and become a consultant. There's different ways to do it, and I would suggest that you don't just cut and dry. I don't think you should just cut it off completely because that's a shock to your system, trust me on this. Both your financial system and your mental system, you know, all of a sudden stop working. It's hard to do.
Steve's next date for portfolio reviews is April 25th in San Ramon. And of course, no matter where you live, you can take advantage of his checkups by Skype or telephone. Just go to investtalk.com when you're ready and look for the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Harry in San Jose. How you doing, Harry?
Hey, doing good, Steve. Long-time listener and appreciate the education you provide on the show. I had a question regarding 401k rollover. I am rolling over my 401k to an IRA with my bank. And as the usual stuff, I have set up an appointment with the advisor with my bank. I wanted to know if I don't want to be a couch potato investor and if I want to actively manage my funds, how should I go about, what would you recommend?
Well, I don't know if I would roll it over into a bank because a bank is kind of limits you to whatever they're going to offer you. Now, a bank employee is, you know, they have people that offer you mutual funds and a few things, but are you going to try to do it yourself, Harry?
I'm planning to do it myself, and I can trade stocks and mutual funds options on through my bank account. I have a brokerage account with them.
Okay, yes. And the trade fees are low?
I get up to 100 trades free per year, and after that it's around $7.99.
Okay, that's not too bad. Then that's what you should do. You could use the bank. I don't have a problem with it. It's just I thought they might be limiting you to, you know, because most banks you can't buy stocks. It depends on the bank, obviously. No, I have no problem with that. And you control and decide what you want to buy and sell. There's no issues there. Now, what you need to do, though, Harry, is learn how to manage that portfolio of stocks or ETFs or mutual funds, whatever you're going to be. And kind of don't buy too much of any one thing. There's rules that you got to kind of understand so you don't get wiped out in one bad trade. You know what I mean? So be very, very careful there.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, but I have no problem with what you're doing. Sounds all right.
Perfect. Thanks
Harry. Appreciate the call. We're going to go to Dave in San Diego. How you doing, Dave?
I'm real new to this game, and I have a question about IRAs.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got some money in a 401k from a different employer.
Yes.
And, I don't want to just leave it in their 401.
Right.
And I'd like to roll it into an IRA.
Yes.
Two-part question on that. Would I be able to take the IRA deduction if I do that?
No, you would not, because it's already in a tax-deferred vehicle already in the old 401k. So rolling it over does nothing as far as being tax-deductible. Now, once it's in an IRA, you can add to the IRA and deduct that amount you added.
That is the second part of my question.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of talk, you know, you can have this and that in an IRA, you can have stocks, bonds, blah, blah, blah. How exactly do you do that?
Okay, very good question. First of all, a 401k, if you work for some employer who offers a 401k and then you stop working for them, the best thing to do is roll that into an IRA. But the question is, how do I do that? It's very, very easy. Depending on what you want to do with the IRA. Of course, with a 401k, you have choices in mutual funds. You can roll that 401k into like a Fidelity, a Vanguard, Schwab. I actually prefer Schwab, believe it or not. Into an account, and all you do is go to them and say, I want to roll my 401k that I no longer work there at now into a new IRA, let's say at the Schwab program where I can pick any and all mutual funds, no load mutual funds I want. And they'll be happy to do that. We do it all the time where someone comes to us and wants to roll it into one of our programs. We do it for them. We, of course, have to get the paperwork, but we do it for them. We roll it from a 401k into a custodian, maybe Bear Stearns or Schwab, or, you know, there's many of them. And then from there, we manage the money on the IRA. Now, there is no tax consequences when you roll it directly from a tax-deferred 401k to a tax-deferred IRA. It's also not a contribution to an IRA because it's going from, you're just swapping. It's an equal trade. And once you open an IRA, you can now add money to that IRA if you wanted to. You can contribute to the IRA. And of course, there's depends on if you make too much money, you can't, but that's a pretty big number. You just go to whomever you trust that you want to roll this into. It could be a bank. And if you want to just put in a savings account, you go to the bank and say, I want to roll this 401k into a savings account. They'll help you with the paperwork. It's very, very simple, Dave. And if you have more questions about it, just call me at the office, 800-557-5461. 800-557-5461. That's my office number. Be happy to discuss it at length with you.
Thank you.
Thanks. George, Aliso Viejo. How you doing, George?
I'm doing fine today. I'm in the dilemma of the fear and greed again.
Aren't we all?
I'm looking at retirement in 6 to 9 months.
Oh, good for you.
Now, in my 401k, I don't have very many choices. I have been in a large cap fund, about a third of that there, and a third in a small cap, and then a third in an international fund.
Okay.
Now, at this point, you know, there's no cost for me or tax implications or anything. Should I start drawing some of that out of there and getting in a cash position because I'm going to have to change it anyway?
Yes, you should, George, and I'm saying that because of your pending retirement.
Right.
It's time for you, now everybody listen up. It's time for George to get a little bit more conservative, and I would start taking some money, and if it was me, I'd take some from each one of those three categories. I wouldn't just dump one of them.
I was thinking of just maybe sell half in each one and just go to a basically a cash position.
I would do that. That would produce now is you got 50% in cash and 50% in the market. And are you about 60-something?
62.
Yeah. And see, at 62, that would be a much safer and a more of a proper balance unless you have lots of other assets that's not in your 401k that's conservative.
Well, the ones I have outside of that are not conservative, although I'm shifting it over a little bit.
Okay.
But that money was my growth money that I don't need for income that I want to keep and grow and have available in 5 or 6 years.
Okay, and I think that's perfect. So this money, I think you need to get more conservative. I agree with you 100%. The other money that you don't need for 5 or 6 years can stay aggressive, but start getting conservative with this retirement IRA 401k money.
All right, thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call.
One of the ways we serve our listeners is individual portfolio checkups. Steve meets with a limited number of listeners at KPP offices in Northern and Southern California. And if you're a podcast listener and you don't live in those areas, there are ways you can avail yourself of this service too. Just call 888-99-CHART and find out more about it.
Serena in Napa Valley, how you doing? Or in Napa, how you doing, Serena?
Hi, I'm a younger person. Okay. I recently worked at a job where they offered me the benefit of having a 401k plan and company stock.
Great.
However, I've left that company in order to pursue higher income so I could support myself a little better.
Oh, that's always a good thing.
Yes. And now I have these teeny little balances, and I'm not sure if it would be beneficial to me to keep it, roll it over, get a check, or what I should do.
Do not get a check, okay? Because then you'll have to pay taxes on it immediately. And you probably got a higher paying job, so you might be in a higher tax bracket. You definitely don't want to pay taxes on it. When you say teeny, are you talking about under $1,000?
Yes, I've got about $500 in 401k and about $300 in the company stock.
Okay. The company stock, is that in the 401k?
Looks like it.
If it's inside the 401k, I would probably sell those stock, and I'd roll that 401k into an IRA.
Okay.
It's very simple to do. You can go to a bank, you can go to Schwab, you can go to Fidelity, you can go to almost any one of those and say, hey, I have a 401k, I'd like to roll into an IRA, and they'll go out of their way to help you.
Does it cost anything to do that?
Free. Well, let me rephrase that. Sometimes the 401k people charge like $30 or $50, but most of them do not. It's generally free.
Okay.
Then when it's in the IRA, you can put it in a money market, you can buy a mutual fund with it, you can add to it up to $4,000 a year, and if you're young, and you do sound young, it would be wise to add to it. Does the new company offer 401k?
No, not yet.
Okay. So then I'd roll it into an IRA, move it out from where it is today, and just you can go to the bank and put it there if you wanted to.
Okay.
You know, use CDs. But don't take it. Because, you know, this is your retirement. You're going to build it over the years to come.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Thank
Bye.
You. Maury and Milpitas.
I just have a general question. I'm kind of reading the, you know, financial sections and listening on the news, and they say that you need $1 million to retire now.
Yeah.
And also another comment that most people are underinvested. So
yes.
Let's say there's no way you're going to have $1 million for retirement with the way things are going, and it's pretty hard to increase it. Should you then invest in riskier stocks to increase your possible reward to get to $1 million or what?
No, not necessarily. Always reverts back to what is your age? How close are you to retirement? This is my fear in that scenario, Maury. Let's say you only have 7 more years or 10 more years, okay? And you know you only have a couple $100,000. And you're going to say, well, you know what? I don't have enough money. I won't have enough money in retirement. So you go on to take more and more and more risk. And you're getting older and you're taking more risk. You're getting older, more risk, older, more risk. Only one major mistake and you're wiped out. You do not do that. You do just the opposite. I'm worried that people will do just that. They're taking more risk as they get older because they haven't been saving enough young enough. But you really shouldn't do that. What that means, Maury, is that you're just not going to be able to retire at the age you want to retire.
I see.
You take less risk as you approach retirement. But if you have lots of money, you can take as much risk as you want. But I'm just saying that if you're the average guy out there, and this is the money for retirement, as you approach retirement, you should always have some exposure to the stock market. But at a certain point in your life, you're going to say, you know what? I can't take risk with this money. I'm going to need it.
So the penalty for underinvesting is that you're going to have to work longer.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Appreciate the call. You're listening to Invest Talk. Glad you're here today. Don't save that question. We still can fit you in at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk continues a service of KPP Financial. For more than 20 years, helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. And we continue now with this special hour devoted to life inside retirement, investing, and distribution strategies.
Jason, San Diego. How you doing, Jason?
Good, good. I recently changed jobs, and I rolled my 401k over into a IRA, and it's got about $14,000 in it, and that's about all the investments that I have. Now, I'm wondering, what do I do with it? It's not really enough money that I feel like I should invest in individual stocks. Do I buy a mutual fund? Or a couple mutual funds, or what do I do with about $14,000?
You buy several mutual funds, not one, not two. Maybe at $14,000, I would probably buy maybe four.
Okay.
Okay. If you're in a 401k, you may not have very many choices, though.
Well, I rolled it over into an IRA now that I changed jobs.
Okay, okay.
So that's why I'm wondering, what do I do? I only had limited choices before.
Right, okay.
And now it's wide open.
Okay. I would roll it over into either Fidelity Investments, you know, with all the Fidelity mutual funds. They have a program, a no-load, no-transaction fee program over there where you can buy any no-load mutual fund, not just Fidelity, all of them. And so does Schwab. They have what's called a Schwab One program that does the same thing. I'm not pushing one company over another. I don't, you know, I don't have an axe to grind either way.
Sure.
But they have programs that you can buy a number of mutual funds, no load and no transaction fee. The problem they have, though, is there's usually a holding period, which I don't like. 90 days, you can't sell it within 90 days of your purchase. But you're probably not going to sell it that soon. But, you know, for me, I don't like the restrictions, but for you, it'd probably be fine. Then once you do that, you want to pick some good funds, some very good funds. Where's the custodian now, Jason?
Scottrade now.
Okay, Scottrade is not a bad place to be. You can buy mutual funds in Scottrade. Even if you buy no-load funds, they might charge you a trading fee. It's called a transaction fee. Find out what that is, okay? And my guess will be between $20 and $30.
Okay.
You can do it from Scottrade. Just find no load, no transaction fee funds.
They've got a list of hundreds of funds that are like that, that say that they're in their program with no commission or fee or
anything. Perfect. They don't have a transaction fee?
Well, they've got a list of funds that don't, and it's a pretty respectable list.
Then you're going to pick from that list, Jason, because I'll guarantee you there's at least four of them over there that are pretty good quality funds. Look for a good mid-cap and maybe small cap growth and value. And also, one of your four picks should be a international fund.
Okay.
Maybe 20% in the international.
Because I had debated over whether to have four funds like you just mentioned or just get one total market or S&P 500 or some.
I understand that. And one of your funds could be an index fund. That's not a problem. If you're sticking with the market for long-term index funds, are fine. I would suggest, though, that you can probably do a little bit better if you find a good manager of the mutual funds. So go to Morningstar.com and check out the funds. See what their ratings are. See how they're done against their peer group. Are they always in the top tier of their peer group? If they are, that's the fund you want.
When you look at the Morningstar and they have 4- and 5-star funds, some folks have told me that 5-star fund is maybe all played out and that you might want to look for a good 4-star fund. Is that correct or no?
I'm right in line with those folks, whoever told you that. I like 3- and 4-star funds. The underachievers that are trying to be overachievers as opposed to the overachievers that have already achieved. I have found in my studies that 5-star funds generally underperform going forward.
Should I be worried about the size of the fund at all or not?
Yes. Well, you're asking some good questions. I like not to have more than a couple of billion dollars. I like to have a few hundred million dollars under management. I don't like the big ones. Why? Because they become the whole market and you might as well buy an index fund.
Yeah.
So stay away from the big guys.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate the call. Very good question. See, now that's a perfect question for everybody else to listen to. It's a really good question. Dennis in Oakland. How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing great, Steve.
Thanks for the call.
I'm 65, and I'm putting some money in the Roth IRA for the next 2 years, like $24K with my wife and I.
Okay.
And I think I should just do it. I don't need the money, so I think I should just put it in aggressive for the next 20 years, and then when I'm 85, then there'll be a nice nest egg, additional nest egg. What do you think of that idea?
If you don't need the money, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't need the money, so.
See, that's the key, because you're at retirement age, quote-unquote retirement age. If you don't need the money and you're willing to let it ride for a number of years, all that growth that the Roth grows for all those years, there's no tax consequence. Not one nickel.
You think the government might change their mind?
I don't think so. Think of the hue and cry that would cause, Dennis. No way. You and I, we'd be marching on Washington, wouldn't we? No, I don't think
it wouldn't be abused, yeah.
So I don't think they're going to change their rules on that. I really don't. There would be such a backlash. Everybody who ever even thought about it would get voted out of office. So I don't see it happening. Dennis, I appreciate the call. I really do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our time is up for this hour. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. I will get back to you. On behalf of Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. Let's plan on getting together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this show, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on the show be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley is a principal of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.